Our subject for this morning is Don't Lose Your Song. According to the Bible, God has given us believers a new song to sing. We used to sing the song of the world, the song of complaining, the song of ungratefulness, the song of bitterness, the song of sin, the song of rebellion. Now, I thought about it. I will read a story in a moment about a bird in a cage. When a bird is in a cage, it still sings. That's the normal thing, right? That's why you have it in the cage as a pet. But the bird is in the cage. It's actually not made for it. I remember when we had a little parakeet one time, and our son Brian was a toddler. We named the bird Vicky, and we had her in the cage for, I don't know how long, maybe a year. One day we wanted to take a trip, and we wanted to bring the bird with the cage to a friend of ours to watch it, feed it, until would be back. So I put the bird cage outside on a tree stump, and our son thought, this bird needs some help. And before I knew it, he had opened the little door and the bird was up in the trees. We called her and said, Vicky, come back, come back. She never came back. She was made for freedom. Let's listen to this story. And this is the start of my message today. This story happened in Galveston, Texas. A lady was cleaning her bird cage with a canister vacuum cleaner. The bird's name was Chippy. She had no attachment at the end of the tube, and as she vacuumed the bottom of the cage, when the phone rang, she turned to get the phone. And what happened? Poor Chippy got sucked into the vacuum cleaner. She opened the canister, ripped the bag open, and took Chippy out. He was stunned, but still alive. Since he was covered with dust, she took him to the bathroom and put him under the faucet to give him a bath. When she had finished that, she took the big blow dryer and put it on high and hot and to dry poor Chippy, who was wet by now. And so the local newspaper published the story. And sometime later, a reporter decided to do a follow-up story on this interesting incident. Galveston, Texas is not a big town, so those newspapers always itch for some gossip or some update. So he asked, how's Chippy doing? And this is what the woman replied. Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sort of sits and stares. Well, you know, I don't blame him. Do you? But many of us are like Chippy. We can identify it because life has sucked us up, thrown cold water on us, blown us away. Life was bigger than what we could handle. As a result, the possibility is there that we lose our song. Now we can no longer sing, "It is well with my soul." And here we are desperate. I read a sentence yesterday to the youth that most people in our time, in our society, are quietly desperate. Because they have been sucked up and almost drowned and blown away by life. But when we read our Bibles, it is clear that God wants us to be joyful. In fact, there's a command that I will read now that we need to be confident and joy-filled people. And this isn't easy. In John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Chippy was almost killed, but almost destroyed. And sometimes we think, how long can we go on? But Jesus says, I have come that they, meaning us, all of us, may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. And that's a reason to rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. It says always. Sometimes we sit and stare at that scripture and say, Lord, was the Apostle Paul out of touch with life? Did he have any idea how I feel? But we have to remember, when did the Apostle Paul write these words, rejoice in the Lord always? And he says, again, I say, rejoice. James chapter 5, verse 13. It's such a challenge. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So when I think of Chippy and all of us who maybe lost our song, then we have to go back to the wonderful story that I read in the introduction in Acts chapter 16. This story tells us that having a song, singing the song of God, singing the song of joy, does not depend on where we are or not even what is happening to us. This is very difficult to understand. And what I'm saying is this, having a song is, or not having a song doesn't depend on upon our circumstances. It shouldn't. I want to read an article that was written by Annie Chapman. And that article is Even in Pain, Finding Our Song. All alone, she sat in the back of the church. The rest of the 500 women at the women's conference that weekend had already exited the auditorium. I was gathering up my books, papers, and props when I saw her at the back of the room. I walked over to where she was sitting. Her head was bowed low and her shoulders were drooping. I sat down and she began to tell me her story. She was the mother of three, her oldest son suffering from muscular dystrophy, had been confined to a wheelchair for almost all of his 17 years of life. Her other two children had a variety of learning and emotional challenges. With her head still bent, she whispered, I'm married to a man, a hateful man who makes my life miserable. He won't help me with our son. He even refuses to help while I hold our son when he goes to the bathroom. I buried my father this week, the woman continued. At the funeral, I learned that my father had disinherited me from his estate because he hated my husband. Then she told me something that still haunts me. I came this weekend with one prayer, she said. I asked God to kill my husband. I prayed, Lord, I need a way out. I feel like a bird in a cage. Finally, she lifted her eyes and said, when I prayed that prayer, God spoke to me as clearly as I've ever sensed his voice. He said, Even a bird in a cage sings. What am I supposed to do with that? She said. How do I live with that answer? Feeling utterly impotent, I replied, if God says sing, then you need to find your song. I offered other words of encouragement, but in the face of her deep pain and sorrow, my words rang hollow in her ears. We parted. She went home to her life and I to mine. I began to ponder. Perhaps some people's circumstances are so bleak that joy is impossible. How can that woman sing when she is in such pain and so sad? One day, as I read in the Psalms, I found the answer. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. In times of sorrow, God offers his grace to the afflicted. In a 5-year span, both my parents died and both my children left home and married. My pain is not as acute as that of some other people. But the answer to adversity is the same for all of us. We are not forgotten. We have a stronghold in the Father. But we need to choose to sing our song of praise, even as a caged bird sings. When I read this story, I was really moved and I was feeling a little guilty. Guilty that we often complain about things instead of praising God. This is not to say that the circumstances are always what we like for them to be. They will so often be so different and so difficult. Everything in life is not fair. And I don't need to tell you about bad circumstances. We all know them. When we read about Paulus and Silas who were in prison, it was in prison that they sang their hymns at midnight. They sang when their pain, their physical pain, was the greatest. They had been done wrong. They didn't deserve to be whipped or flogged or be in stock. And what they did is they had put their feet in stocks. That means they couldn't move. And if they... Obviously, they also had their arms chained. They couldn't scratch themselves anywhere where it was itching or burning or whatever. And yet, at midnight, when the pain was the most severe, and they felt this agony of wrong that was done to them, the enemies of the cross that apparently had the victory over them, they started to sing hymns. And I bet some of their hymns were probably close to what we sang in the beginning, "It is well with my soul." H.G. Spafford wrote that song, "It is well with my soul." His business he had in Chicago burned down. So he sent his wife and daughters to England to escape the stress. Then one day he received a telegram, this was many, many years ago, from his wife that says this: "The ship sank because of a violent storm. I alone survived." He has lost his business. The daughters are gone. He took the next available ship to England, and on the way he asked the captain to let him know the exact spot where the ship had sunk. And it was there, at that moment on the ship, where he grieved over his daughters, over the loss of everything he owned, that he wrote the song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll." He was on the sea at that time. "Whatever my lot, it has taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Loved ones, what the world didn't give us, it cannot take away from us. The world didn't give us this peace. The world didn't give us forgiveness of sin. The world didn't give us the relationship with God. And so it cannot take it away from us. Only if we allow it to. Jesus said in John chapter 14, and I love this chapter. John chapter 14 is a chapter of comfort. "Peace I leave with you," verse 27. "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We had a neighbor in Pasadena, California, when we lived there for 6 years, and he used to say to me, and he talked about circumstances. One day the thieves had broken into his trunk and he had hidden some cash money there. It was quite a large sum of money. And they had stolen it. And he always used to say, "Oh well, this too shall pass." And he would just be joyful. I always appreciated that. "This too shall pass." Having a song does not depend on our circumstances, but it depends on whose we are. Who do we belong to? That's the beautiful thing. Paulus and Silas, they sang at midnight because their lives belong to Jesus Christ. The Lord was their life. The Lord was all in all in their life. And they could say with the psalmist, Psalm 118, verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation." The Lord is my strength and he is also my song. My song is directed to him. And what Paulus and Silas did is, they didn't try to impress the prisoners. They just wanted to worship God at midnight because they were in pain. They couldn't sleep like this. They were very uncomfortable. And to overcome this very uncomfortable, instead of complaining or cussing or cursing, that a lot of people do very quickly when something is uncomfortable, they sang hymns to the Lord. With that, they were saying, "Lord, whatever my lot, you have taught us to sing, it is well with my soul." We may be in chains. We may be in this hell hole here, this jail. We may be even executed, but Lord, our lives belong to you. And we worship you. Whatever my lot, I will worship you. And so they didn't lose their song. What an incredible example for us. God is with us. Jesus is with us every step. Even in the darkness of our inner prisons that we may be in. Hebrews chapter 13. It says, "For he himself," Jesus, "has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So he has promised that all things will ultimately work together for good. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We will go to heaven when we die, and this is what the Apostle Paul could say later when he was old. He wrote this to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, he says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Now listen to this. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Because of promises like these, we as believers, as Christians, can sing at midnight and say, it is well with my soul. Psalm 42, verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. Only a real believer, someone that has a real relationship with Jesus Christ, can understand this. Having a song can influence others as well. This is our responsibility. And oftentimes we come into the vacuum cleaner and we get drenched and we get blown away like Chippy. And then we just sit and stare and then we wonder, well, is this going to be encouraging for others? Is this going to encourage my children, my grandchildren? And then we have to find our song again after all that happened to us. Don't give up looking for that song again. There's more to this story here in prison. The prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas as they were singing. They were listening. And they were wondering, what is this? Why are they singing? Are they delusional? Are they just kind of fantasizing? Are they in such pain that they're already out of their minds? But they noticed this was something different. And what happened then is the foundations of the prison were shaken with an earthquake and all the doors were opened all at once. And the jailer thinks everyone has escaped and he's ready to take his own life because he knew that if the prisoners escaped, that would mean he was going to be executed. So the Apostle Paul, he calls to him and says, do yourself no harm. We're all here. But that was too overwhelming for the jailer. He came in and he was shaking. He said, men, what should I do to be saved? I want what you have. Singing this song in the most darkest hour is what makes a huge difference in the lives of others. Not pretending, not saying that everything is okay. No. We can even say, no, a lot of things. I'm troubled about a lot of things, but I want to sing that song. It is well with my soul. And this jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You too and your household, your whole family will receive this song, this new song that you will learn and you will appreciate the rest of your life. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and he washed their wounds. He didn't care anymore whether they were going to kill him or not. He just took them into his house. He said, come, I want what you have. It doesn't matter what happens to me from here on. And this is the interesting part. And he has, and his entire family were baptized without delay. They wanted to confirm their faith and say, we are taking a stand for Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have this new song now. We are bold. We can face whatever comes because we have Jesus in our hearts. We have the new song. This is my prayer for myself and for all of us. The world around us is singing their own sad songs. They have no hope. Unbelievers don't have the hope. It is up to us to let our light shine, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we think of poor Chippy, he was just sitting and staring. Maybe that's what we're doing in church sometimes. We just sit and stare. And we don't know, should I receive the word or not? Should I really act upon it or not? Should I really have more faith or not? Should I really just fold up and throw in the towel, or what should I do? But the Lord wants to encourage you today, fire up that new song. The Lord has given it to us. It's up to us to sing it. One songwriter says, he took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart, joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. Let's keep singing the song of joy and salvation. No matter what comes our way, even if we are burdened, beaten, and feel like just sitting and staring, don't do it. Don't give in to it. Look up to Jesus. He gives us new strength. Those are the words that I feel this morning. And I didn't know, loved ones, that some of you were going to be here today. And I know now why I had to bring this message. You needed to hear this. And I needed to remind myself. God bless you. Amen.